This is 99% Invisible. I'm Roman Mars. The ocean is not our place. It's only humankind's incessant need to explore that drives us into such an unwelcoming environment.
In the mid-1800s, a naturalist named Edward Forbes hypothesized that below 300 fathoms, or about 1,800 feet, no life could exist in the ocean.
That's our own Katie Mingle.
And people pretty much believed him.
Well, the general thought was that it was just common sense that nothing could live down there.
That's Carol Gould.
I'm a science writer.
And she's married to Princeton biology professor Jim Gould.
Well, we've been practicing this for 45 years, so we've pretty well got it.
Back to oceans.
And it just made sense to people, you know, the way we are so anthropocentric. If people can't live down there, well, probably nothing else can.
But these anthropocentric naysayers would soon be proven wrong.
Starting in 1858, nations were connected with extremely long wires. Messages would travel great distances through cables that lay on the ocean floor.
And in 1860, as the Mediterranean cable was raised for repair from about 6,000 feet, lo and behold, attached to the cable were critters.
This discovery was much talked about in the press. There was life in the depths of the ocean, and everyone wanted to know more about it. For years, all we knew about these creatures was gathered from the remains that the British ship, the HMS Challenger, dredged up from the ocean's depths.
And then came a scientist named William Beebe.
William Beebe had become a respected ornithologist, but in the 1920s, while working by the coast, turned his attention to the ocean.
He would look down in the water and just spent hours wondering what was down there. And so then he started trying to think and plan a way that could get him down there.
But as Beebe plotted ways to go deep, he couldn't seem to think outside the cylinder, which was the shape of pre-existing submarines.
By Beebe's time, submarines could go down about 200 feet. If you went down further, they collapsed.
And then in 1928, a young engineer named Otis Barton got in touch with Beebe and told him that to go as deep as he wanted to go, the design had to be in the shape of a sphere.
Even though the ocean depth brings on more and more pressure the deeper you go, that pressure, if you're in a sphere, is pressing equally on every square inch of the sphere.
Otis Barton told Beebe he'd help him design and engineer this new submersible as long as he was allowed to accompany Beebe on all of the trips the sphere made into the sea. The final design was about 4.5 feet in diameter, and there wasn't a bench or even a level floor inside the bathysphere.
They sat on this horrible, cold, wet, concave floor that kind of pushed them together, and they weren't really great friends either.
The sphere was made of steel and had two windows of thick fused quartz, which provided an extremely clear view into the water. It also had a small hatch to enter through. They called it the bathysphere, bathys being the Greek word for deep.
The submersible couldn't move on its own, so it had to be lowered on a cable off of a boat and then kind of dragged around.
Inside the sphere were some canisters of oxygen and some trays of chemicals that soaked up the CO2 they were breathing out.
Their first dive on May 27, 1930 was just 45 feet down. But over time, Beebe and Barton started doing deeper and deeper dives in the bathysphere.
As the bathysphere sunk lower and lower,
the light is attenuated more and more and more.
Until finally, they would have been floating in complete darkness. Though Beebe and Barton both swore there was somehow still an aura of blueness to the blackness.
After the sunlight disappeared, the only fish they'd be able to see without their spotlight were the ones that provided their own light. That is, fish with bioluminescence. So they spent a lot of time turning the spotlight on and off. And on and off.
The ocean was teeming with strange-looking creatures at all depths. Beebe would describe these creatures in great detail over the telephone line that went up to the boat above.
Along the sides of the body were five unbelievably beautiful lines of light.
And then Elsa Bostelman, who was an amazing artist, was there on board as well, and she would make sketches. And then when Beebe finally came up, he would look them over and say, yes, that's right, no, that's wrong.
Many of Bosselman's sketches were published in National Geographic, and the creatures they portrayed were so strange, so otherworldly, that readers couldn't believe they were real. Over the course of 4 years, Beebe and Barton made dozens of dives and cataloged several new species of fish. They made it to 3,028 feet deep, 6 times deeper than anyone had ever been. 99% Invisible was produced this week by Katie Mingle, Sam Greenspan, Avery Truffleman, Kurt Kolstad, Pat Mesiti Miller, Ted Muldoon, and me, Roman Mars. We are a project of KALW. Find out more at 99pi.org.